What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to a live NBA outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. And we are discussing NBA trade deadline rumors, trades, whatever it is. Corey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. This is, you know, an incredible time of the year. Everything is just working at an all-time high speed. Things are happening behind closed doors. We're getting a ton of rumors. It's Christmas for NBA fans.
Yeah, it really is. And obviously, there's been a ton of trade rumors all over the place. You know, not only the big names, small names, whatever it is. You know, we've already had five trades in the last 48 hours. So I expect a lot of stuff to happen. What about you?
I do too. I mean, the fact of the matter is there's one team that's far away from everybody, the Golden State Warriors, and everybody else is trying to compete with that team, which means all these teams that are, you know, tier two, they got to make moves.
Yeah, pretty much. They don't really have an option if they want to truly compete for a championship. We're going to talk about some of those trades. And as always, check us out, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Dash Radio, and YouTube. We'll start with the farthest away. We'll go to the first trade we saw late last night, Lakers and Pistons. Lakers acquired Reggie Bullock. Pistons acquired Svi Mykhailiuk in a second-round pick. And I nailed his last name, which is extremely hard. So shout out to me.
I couldn't do it. So way to go, Nick. I mean, obviously, last night, as many people know, the Lakers got mollywopped by my Indiana Pacers. They lost by 42 points, the worst loss in LeBron James' career. He was sitting on the edge of the bench. All the memes came out, like, I'm trading all you mother, you know. And they made the first move. They got Reggie Bullock from the Pistons. Obviously, it's a strange move for the Pistons. Pistons are kind of, you know, what are they going to do around Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond? Can you add pieces to kind of make a playoff run? Are you going to try and do like a retool? But I think getting a draft pick is good for them. And then Reggie Bullock's a good three-point shooter, shooting, I think, 38% on the year on six attempts. Somebody can help space the floor, something the Lakers are desperately lacking. So I think it was a good move from the Lakers. Obviously, it's nothing crazy, but it's a good piece.
Yeah, it's a good depth piece. You know what you said, a low-key move. You know, he's somewhat of a 3-and-D guy. He's a good three-point shooter, I think close to 40% from his career. And like you mentioned, close to 40 on the year, shooting over six attempts. Defensively, he's not elite, but at least give you good effort. And that's kind of what the Lakers obviously need. And the spacing should really help the team. And this helps them with Anthony Davis or without Anthony Davis, whoever they add. They have the option to kind of retain him in the offseason too, because I believe they got his bird rights. On the Pistons side, you know, Svi, he can kind of be a guy you develop in the future. Maybe he'll give you a nice wing depth, but right now I don't think he's ready to have a huge impact on the floor. They do get a second-round pick, and I know there's a lot of concern with the Pistons. Will they be able to retain Bullock because their salary cap is so bad?
Right, yeah. I mean, it's been, you know, we got three guys locked up with so much money. How you configure the rest of the roster is always an issue.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk Pistons again in a little bit. I think on the Lakers front, like we said, it's a good deal for them. Small move, but a good move.
For sure.
Now on to the bigger trade, and this happened about 2:30 Eastern time last night. So actually, I was like in the middle of the night getting a snack. It's something I always do. I'm just crazy. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I look at my phone. I'm like, why am I getting Woj and Shams notifications right now? Next thing you know, Tobias Harris traded to the Sixers along with Boban Marjanovic and Mike Scott, Clipper Scott, Landry Schmidt, Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, a 2020 first round pick, a 2021 first round pick via Miami, and a 2021 second round pick, and a 2023 second round pick. So pretty big haul for the Clippers. Initial thoughts on this one before we break it down from each side.
Yeah, crazy, man. I mean, I woke up at 5 a.m. too, and like my phone never had that many notifications. I was like, what the hell happened? Like, what'd I miss? And then obviously this trade went through, and it's a monster trade. You know, I hope this is not the biggest trade that we see all you know, 24 hours from now or less than that now. But I mean, for the Sixers, all in. I mean, they went full tilt on trying to maybe make the NBA Finals this season. Tobias Harris is going to be their fourth option offensively, play the small ball for Boban Marjanovic.
Yeah, close enough.
Close enough. He's got the best PER in NBA history. So obviously adding him alongside of a guy like Joel Embiid to back him up, I think is solid. They've been looking for a backup center. And Mike Scott, a really good catch-and-shoot guy. I mean, he can give them some production off the bench. And then for the Clippers, I mean, Landry Schmidt is no joke. I mean, he told us before the season to watch out for him, and he's been fantastic. I think that's a nice young piece for them, kind of like a J.J. Redick. And then, you know, Wilson Chandler expiring, Mike Muscala, just a filler. And then the draft picks. I mean, holy draft picks. This put them in a great position, the Clippers, to make another move. And, you know, who knows? Maybe this was their kind of move to free up cap space to go after Kawhi and then maybe throw a bunch of these picks and some of these young guys, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Landry Schmidt, and towards maybe Montrezl Harrell, towards a guy like Anthony Davis in the future because you got all these draft picks. But I like this move for the Clippers. It shows that they're really starting to look for the future because Tobias Harris, they probably were going to keep him long term.
Yeah, no, I look at the Clippers side first as well. Like you said, I was initially kind of shocked that we saw this happen so fast. But I thought for the Clippers, getting value like this for Tobias Harris, amazing deal. And like you said, you know, there's a good chance they probably weren't going to retain him. They're looking for bigger guys out there. Also, you know, Tobias Harris is going to get a lot of money. For any of those teams that miss out on the big free agents, they're going to probably throw money at Tobias Harris. So getting two first-round picks, that Miami 2021 pick has probably a lot of value considering what happens with Miami. Salary cap not great for them. They're going to probably – at best case scenario, be a fifth or sixth seed in the East at that time. Sorry, Jorge, I know you probably don't appreciate that. But the 2026ers pick probably be a late first round pick. The second rounders do probably have a little value because there's a lot of talk, obviously, of at that time, high schoolers being able to go in the NBA draft and things along those lines. So something to keep an eye on as well. Then also Landry Schmidt, solid guy. I think he's a role player that has a spot on that team moving forward, depending on what they do, or it's another trade asset. And like you said, Chandler, Muscala, just guys kind of getting thrown in there. But overall, this gives them an opportunity to make a swing at, you know, a big fish if he comes available on the trade market. Now they have multiple first-round picks. Like you said, Harrell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, guys they can throw in there. You know, Anthony Davis could be a name, you know, that they go after maybe in the summertime. He was on their the Clippers were on his list as well. Now, what do you think about the Clippers going to the offseason before we get to the Sixers side a little bit more? Do you think they have a real shot at landing guys like Kawhi, KD, and making a trade with AD and becoming, you know, a contender over one offseason?
I think they do for the aspect of the fact that they've already been tied to these two guys. You know, before any of these moves have occurred, you know, Kawhi Leonard was already saying that he wanted to come home to LA. And then Anthony Davis obviously named him on that short list of four teams, I believe, that the Clippers were one of his destinations. They got the cap space. A lot of players just simply don't want to play with LeBron James. For whatever that's worth, take it for what it is. But if other guys want to play in L.A. and you can pair up with another superstar, a Kawhi and a Davis or a Kawhi and a KD, whatever the pairing is, the Clippers have the cap space and they have some nice pieces.
Yeah, no, they do. They have the cap space. It's kind of one of those options where it's like, oh, you want to play with your buddy? Similar to the Knicks. Oh, we can make that happen. And I think the Clippers have done a good job over the last, you know, season or two, really establishing themselves as an NBA organization that has credibility. So I think that's moving forward. Obviously, Jerry West has done a great job. Lawrence Frank in the front office. Doc Rivers is respected. So I think they have a real shot this summer. Would they be at the top of my list? Probably not. But I think they'll have an opportunity at least get meetings with some of these top guys.
And you mentioned it too, like, although the Ballmer-Blake Griffin relationship, depending on how you look at that as a player, you know, it was kind of shady for the fact that there was that verbal agreement that they had a contract that you were going to be the face of the franchise, and they traded him. But like you mentioned, between Jerry West, between Ballmer, between Doc Rivers, I mean, the infrastructure there is very good. The no fear in making roster moves to better the team and to set yourself up, that kind of stuff, I do think attracts stars who may see the Clippers not being ready next year, but maybe a couple of years down the road.
And it's L.A., you know.
Right, exactly, yes.
It's Los Angeles. You know, the Lakers are there, but like you said, not everyone wants to play with LeBron. Some people want their own spotlight, something to consider. Moving on to the Philly side a little bit more. Getting a guy like Tobias Harris is just an all-in move. Obviously, they'll have his bird rights, so a lot in the offseason. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, I mean, this makes them one of the top teams in the East. You know, where would they sit in your eyes? Adding Tobias Harris, Marjanovic, and Mike Scott, who was a killer in the playoffs. You know, Boban's not an amazing center, but he's a situational guy. Adding these three pieces is a huge boost.
Yeah, I just want to say my mic was off that whole time, but now it's on. just for looks. But, I mean, for the Sixers' point of view, I mean – I love it. I mean, this is probably arguably depending. I mean, this is the biggest issue now is how fast can these guys gel together? Who's going to take a back seat? How will that all work? You know, Jimmy Butler kind of had an issue doing that already in Minnesota. You know, Ben Simmons, for him, it's perfect. Doesn't have more guys who can score. He can kind of take a back seat. But how these guys are going to gel, I think that's the biggest issue. But I think realistically on paper, this could be the best team in the East, arguably, depending on how everything comes together. JJ Redick is still there as well. I think the bench is probably a little bit questionable, but I think they could be as high as a two seed. I wouldn't be shocked if they could get, you know, the best record possibly.
You look at it, you know, they arguably are starting four all-stars. You know, Tobias Harris was right on the fringe. If he played in the Eastern Conference, he's probably getting the nod. He's having an amazing year, you know, 20 points a game, close to 50% from the field, close to 40% from three. He's just a perfect fit. Like you said, Ben Simmons doesn't have to worry about shooting. They have great spacing now with him and J.J. Redick because it's not like Harris is an okay shooter. He's a good shooter. Jimmy Butler is a pretty good shooter. Now Joel Embiid can have his presence inside. I think the one thing for the Sixers they're looking at, obviously they got Boban and Mike Scott to add some depth. The buyout market, you know, Wayne Ellington's been brought up. Wesley Matthews has been brought up. If they're able to land one or two of those guys or even make a smaller move for a guy like Jeremy Lin or something like that, bolster their bench, they're going to be a really tough out in the playoffs. Like, I don't want to say they're the best team because we haven't seen them play on the floor, but would I be surprised if this team made it to the finals? No.
No, I'm right there with you. I mean, on paper, that starting five is maybe the closest thing to compete with the Warriors in a lot of ways, just because of how the talent is differentiated. But the bench is going to be the biggest issue. You know, who can you bring in? The buyout market is going to be crucial for them. But for the Sixers, I like it. You know, we had all this time trusting the process, and to see them go all in like this, you know, for two guys expiring, you know, this could arguably backfire. I don't think it will, but they put themselves in a good spot. Even if they lose Jimmy Butler, you can then re-sign Tobias Harris, and you still have a pretty young big three in that aspect because Tobias Harris is only 26, and Jimmy Butler, I believe, is 30.
Yeah, so I agree. I think it almost gives them a safety net where they're guaranteed to retain one of those guys. They could retain both, but it's going to be pricey and kind of limit them moving forward. It'll be interesting more so on the Jimmy Butler front because I think you trade for Tobias, especially giving up two firsts like that. You're pretty much committed to him. So it'll be interesting if they're able to kind of retain both guys. I think if you're looking at the Sixers, if you want to look at the negative side, you know, J.J. Redick, like in a final series, Eastern Conference Finals, teams are going to attack him. So getting that, you know, backup two guard or point guard, whatever you want to put in that position, somebody who's more of a two-way player, I think will be big for them.
For sure.
Now, talking about the other guys, like we said, Boban, situational center, Mike Scott killed it in the playoffs. These guys should give him a nice boost too on the bench, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think these guys are great. I still think what they really lack off the bench is just perimeter shooting. Mm-hmm. You know, I think T.J. McConnell obviously is a good backup point guard. Losing Shamit is going to hurt from that aspect. I think the best, you know, Wesley Matthews, the name you mentioned, that would probably be a nice guy to have for some perimeter shooting. That's really what they need. They just need a couple more perimeter shooters off the bench. But I think those are two good pieces, especially, you know, with Joel Embiid. He's kind of been banged up at times this year. Boban can give him some relief.
Yeah, exactly. He can. He can give him some minutes off, and he'll have a huge presence in the paint. It's not like you're bringing in a small center. This is one of the only guys in the league that's actually bigger than Joel Embiid.
Yeah, and it's also awesome that Tobias Harris and Boban are still together. The friendship is just going place to place at this point. They're third destination together, I believe.
You know what's kind of weird is I was, like, worried that they weren't going to be together. Like, when I saw that Tobias Harris was traded, I didn't see Boban instantly, and I was like, oh, that sucks. Like, those guys had such a great relationship. But turns out he's in the deal. So moving on from there, Pistons had another trade. They acquired Thon Maker and traded Stanley Johnson to the Bucks. Thoughts on this one?
Let's hope change of scenery makes a difference for both guys. Realistically, this isn't a huge move for either team. Unless the Pistons are trading Andre Drummond and Thon Maker as the starting center. But I do think Maker will get more run time in Detroit than he was getting, obviously, in Milwaukee. Stanley Johnson just hasn't became anything. You know, he's just a very raw wing. There's been stretches where you thought maybe he could be a 3-and-D guy, but it's just never come together. Maybe in a winning environment, playing in Milwaukee alongside Antetokounmpo and Middleton and those guys, he can figure it out in Budenholzer's offense. You know how the spacing of the floor, maybe it frees him up a little bit more. But it's just something both teams making a slight move. But again, you know, I saw this trade, and if I'm Blake Griffin, this isn't making me any happier. You know, none of these moves are making this team any better. And, you know, I would also be slightly concerned as the Bucks because it sounded like Antetokounmpo was really, shaken up that they traded Thon Maker, somebody he referred to several times as his little brother.
Yeah, I think from the Giannis front, I wouldn't be too concerned because Maker did request a trade. It's not right. Like they just threw him out. Like, it was by his wishes. So if anything, he should be happy about it because that's what Thon wanted and the organization respected that. But I agree with the fact it's change of scenery for both guys. Both teams get a flyer and a young guy. Stanley Johnson really hasn't shown much. I would say Thon has a higher upside right now. You know, Stanley probably can give you more at the moment, but he still hasn't really developed much offensively. Defensively, he has shown some potential. He's a tough dude. And when Athan, you know, we saw some great stretches in the playoffs, shot blocker, three-point shooting. He just needs to put on some size. Detroit's going to have to take their time with it. But like you said, on the Blake Griffin front, you know, both these moves don't really signal we're trying to push hard for the playoffs.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Pistons in general right now? Do you think this is pretty much like, all right, we don't really care. We make the playoffs. We just want to make sure we kind of get under the cap. Maybe they make a bigger move, or is this about it?
I mean, it sounds like that they're still somewhat in the Mike Connolly sweepstakes. Because Mike Connolly, from what I've heard, doesn't want to go to Utah.
Despite he wants to go east.
Right, he wants to go east, which makes me think that he wants to have a deep playoff run, or a somewhat deep playoff run. And, you know, Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and Mike Connolly, that's a – in the East, that could be a second-round team, possibly, depending on how the seeding works out. But, you know, again, you know, what kind of package can Detroit even throw at the Pistons that interests them? You know, I don't think there's much the Pistons can do because no one's going to want Reggie Jackson. The contract of Andre Drummond, it's not ideal. You would have to get a team like Memphis who's moving on for some older guys to you know, swap those contracts, but I just don't see a lot of wiggle room for the Pistons.
Yeah, it's not like the Pistons have a ton of great young assets. You know, they could probably throw some future first round picks, and they're taking a risk because that's their only way to get better because they're adding guys like this. So their free agent, like you said, their salary is terrible, so they're not going to add free agents or anything like that. So very interesting front for the Pistons. If they don't get a bigger guy, I think it really hurts their playoff chances, especially moving a guy more so like Reggie Bullock, who is a consistent player on that team, and now they're really weak on the wing.
Yeah, and one of their biggest issue too is perimeter shooting. Another team that just doesn't have a lot. I mean, Luke Kennard, I think, is possibly
their second. He's going to be their best shooter probably right now.
Yeah, and Blake Griffin's probably your second or third, depending on how Reggie Jackson's shooting on a given night. I know Galloway's been decent as of late too, but, you know, the perimeter shooting, losing Reggie Bullock, that's definitely going to hurt them in that area.
Yeah, something to definitely think about in terms of the Pistons, what's happening for them. And on the Bucks, like we said, it shouldn't really have much of an impact. Then we had a smaller trade, Malachi Richardson and Toronto's 2022 second-round pick to the Sixers and the Raptors got cash considerations. So nothing really here. You know, I think the Raptors are probably trying to get under the – lose some salary, and then the Sixers getting a little bit more depth in the team. Richardson's had some decent stretches, but he's not a guy that you're going to go crazy about.
Yeah, I mean – Malachi Richardson, old Syracuse guy, Cuse. So I hope he gets some run time. I mean, they're depth-wise, you know, who knows? His number could get called. Granted, I don't think this is why they got him. They didn't get him in hopes that he is going to become a key rotational player down the stretch here. But an okay move. Raptors getting cash, which to me means they're definitely trying to make a move. They've been kind of tied to a Mike Connolly, Kyle Lowry three-team swap going on possibly. And then getting another draft pick for the Sixers, which is pretty good since – you know, you just sent out all those draft picks to get Tobias Harris. You get another one back, despite it probably won't be a great draft pick. But still, I like the move.
Yeah, it's just a move you make. It's not like anything crazy. You get Richardson, who you could possibly play in the future. You get the second-round pick because you just traded two away, kind of building back up some of your assets that you just lost. So solid move, nothing too crazy. And then the most recent move between the Suns and the Heat, you know, the Suns received Tyler Johnson, Wayne Ellington. He acquired Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, the Heat got rid of one bad contract for another bad contract. Fantastic. But, I mean, for the Suns' perspective, I mean, you waived Austin Rivers, which is probably just a worse perimeter shooting Tyler Johnson in some ways. I don't think they're much different players, personally. Tyler Johnson, though, who knows? A change of scenery, bigger role alongside a guy like Devin Booker. Maybe they become a fun little tandem, but still, I don't think he's like a starter by any means going forward, despite how much money he makes. Thank you, Brooklyn Nets. Mm-hmm. Was it Brooklyn Nets? It was Brooklyn Nets. Yeah. They got so many guys out there. But so I think it's an okay move. Wayne Ellington going to be bought out, I believe, right?
Yeah, correct. I think they'll probably try to move him, but most likely he'll just end up bought out. I think Tyler Johnson, you know, compared to Austin Rivers, I think skill set wise they're similar. Like you said, you know, Johnson probably a little bit better shooter, but I think Johnson has more of a better an attitude to kind of fit into a system and will be working with a rebuilding team trying to get more reps in there. And I think, like, it's for the Suns' perspective, you're trading Ryan Anderson, who you didn't play, for Tyler Johnson, who you will play, and it'll help you at that guard position, which you do need help, and it'll help the development of some of the young guys throughout the rest of the season, and you'll have them next year. And it's not like the Suns are going to do anything with their cap space. And for the Heat side, you know, Ryan Anderson's contract is a little bit less guaranteed, so they save a little bit of cap space.
Right.
Nothing big on that front. Any other thoughts on this trade?
No, I mean, the Heat needed to start moving some of these contracts, needed to start freeing up the log jam between guards and wings that they have. I mean, granted, but, you know, Tyler Johnson, Wade, Dragic, Deion Waiters, you know, they got a lot of guys in that position. So getting rid of Tyler Johnson helps, and Wayne Ellington as well.
100%. Now, talking some of the buyout guys we mentioned, you know, we expect to see probably Wayne Ellington, Wesley Matthews, Enes Kanter. DeAndre Jordan, who is a guy I originally thought would be bought out, doesn't necessarily seem like a guarantee. So we'll just talk Ellington, Matthews, and Kanter. Talking those three guys, what are your favorite locations for them?
I think for Wesley Matthews, a couple of teams that come to mind right off the bat are OKC. I think they could use another guy who can stretch the floor for them. The Warriors were a name I've heard several times in regards to Wesley Matthews. That if he was bought out, they may take a flyer at him. Kanter, I don't see really any destinations for. You know, I know the Kings were tied to him. That's like the if they're tied to him, then they must have interest. But I just don't think anyone really wants Kanter, at least not any playoff contending teams, at least. But Wesley Matthews is a guy, you know, maybe Houston would take a look at him as well. Mm-hmm. Because they've been interested in kind of Kent Bazemore, so Wesley Matthews can kind of fill that void. Matthews is going to be a guy a lot of teams are. The Blazers as well, I think, are a team that come to mind.
Former team
as well, yep. Yeah, I think Matthews is going to be a team that almost every contender calls for. Even the Sixers, you know, you mentioned them earlier. They would be a team I wouldn't be surprised to take a look at them.
Yeah, I think Ellington and Matthews will be get a lot of interest on the same teams. Obviously, skill set a little bit different. You know, Ellington, a pure sharpshooter, can give you a lot of three-point shooting. Wesley Matthews, not as consistent, but a little bit better overall. So I think they'll be interested, like you said, OKC, Houston, Philadelphia, Golden State, whoever it might be, the Lakers. You know, any team looking to add some depth on the wing. Kanter, I think I'll get a little bit of interest, especially at that price. Like, he's a guy that can give you a little scoring boost and a little bit of rebounding. Obviously, defensively, he's bad. But in short stints, he's not a terrible player to have on your squad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, if you're looking for like a place for Kanter, I guess maybe it could be a place like Charlotte, a team that's looking for some kind of offensive punch to help Kemba.
Yeah, they don't get Gasol, they go with that. You know, right. We'll talk about possible guys we'll see a move, but I think there's a team out there that might have interest in Kanter. They just don't want to trade for him, but they'll take him at a vet minimum on the buyout market.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, the certain names, their trade value, you know, the teams interested through trade are probably like a handful, whereas the buyout market, that number gets doubled.
Exactly. Now, talking some more guys, who are some guys you expect to be traded? You know, we got Marcus Gasol, who our Brandon Smart report is likely going to Charlotte. You know, Mike Conley, there's a possibility he's moved. Nikola Mirotic. Who are some other names out there that you expect to be moved? Guys on the Hawks, who is it?
I mean, Mirotic for sure, I think, is going to be moved.
Sitting out tonight, by the way.
Yeah, that's a big indicator. Alec Burks from the Cavs, I would be shocked if they held on to him past tomorrow. Jamichael Green, another guy I wouldn't be shocked to see move. Garrett Temple, the guy I think will be moved. And then outside of those, you know, I think there's some interest in possibly a guy like Trevor Reeves. I know the Lakers have been tied to him, so I wouldn't be surprised if he got flipped again. Who else can I be thinking of?
Jeremy Lin, Dwayne Dedman.
Oh, yeah, the Hawks. Yeah, I just actually read I read a little bit about the Hawks. Yeah. Jeremy Lin's an interesting guy. I don't know necessarily what the rumors have been the last, like, 48 hours, but Taurean Prince would be an interesting guy. I know they mentioned that he was available, and we've talked about it. The wings are just what everybody's out for nowadays, and Taurean Prince could be another guy. He only makes $2.9 million per year on his contract, so he's even tradable for. But I think those, you know, all those teams we mentioned, those contending teams, they're going to be on the phones all night.
Yeah, I think they're asking. I wouldn't be surprised if Taurean Prince's move, but I wouldn't expect him as like a guarantee because they're asking a little bit for him. But definitely Lin and Dedman, and if they're not traded, I would expect them to kind of be bought out. Bazemore's a little bit different because he has another year of his contract, so no guarantee. But you mentioned Alec Burks. I like that one because the Cavs have no purpose in keeping him. I think Houston's almost guaranteed to trade their first-round pick in Brandon Knight for a wing. It seems like the most frequent rumor we see out there. So I don't know what team it'll be, but I would almost guarantee Houston's going to make a trade. If not, they'll 100% sign someone in the buyout market.
Yeah, on my notes, the three players I had by the Rockets are Burks, Green, and Temple. I think those are the three guys that make sense. And I would have put in Ellington. You know, Ellington being released, I think he kind of fits into what Houston would want as well. You know, the three-point shooting meshes well.
Yeah, that Temple, Jermichael Green, and for Brandon Knight in a first has been rumored. Jack Manuel wrote an article about that for the Trade Deadline Marathon. Still some time to check out the Trade Deadline Marathon. Over, I want to say 50 or 60 trades right now to just kind of browse through. Some of the guys have already been
crazy.
Traded. Yeah, it's literally just a ton of content. Our guys are obsessed with the ESPN trade machine just like everybody else. But getting back to the Grizz a little bit, Marcus Sol, you think is a lock to go to Charlotte or you're not sold?
I'm not sold. I'm hoping that...
Give me a percentage.
On it happening or not happening?
Happening.
I'm going to have to say 65.
Okay. I think that's fair. I'm about 70, so I think that's right. I think a lot of talk report-wise has been also Gasol himself believes that he's going to Charlotte, so that's always a positive. I think it's just more so working the framework of the trade, some of the details, and I don't think a lot of other teams are interested in him. He just, you know, doesn't have a ton of value at this stage in his career.
Yeah, and, you know, Marc Gasol obviously struggled this year, and I don't like to, like, call out the conferences, and, you know, Marc Gasol could have a possibly more fruitful career or end of his career over playing in the East than playing in the West. You know, he can have more efficient years playing against the Hawks four times, playing against the Knicks four times. Even though those teams are getting better, I think with Charlotte, it kind of makes more sense for him as a player. Like, I understand why he may even be open to the idea of Charlotte. But again, you know, it depends on how these things come together. It never seems good when we know a lot of rumors about a possible trade happening. It feels like the ones that happen are like the Porzingis deal comes out of nowhere. The Tobias Harris deal comes out of nowhere. Generally, the rumors we don't hear about tend to be the ones that come through most times. Yeah.
Or you hear about it real quick, and it's usually done that day. You know, right. You hear the rumor early in the day, it's like, oh, a deal's close. Then it's done within 24 hours. If not, there's always some concern. Now, getting back to Mike Conley, we kind of talked about him a little bit. He prefers to go to the East. There's been some mention of the Raptors getting involved, obviously the Pistons. Any other squads that come to mind? Obviously, Utah wants to make a move for him, but Conley's agent has said he doesn't want to go to Utah.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Utah, the Toronto thing's interesting. I think it's really – It's a bold play if you're going to trade Kyle Lowry for Mike Conley, because what you basically just said is you don't give a shit about the DeRozan-Lowry era, which is kind of already apparent. They didn't win nothing, so it's not like it matters. But you're also ripping out the heart of that team for Conley. And then where else can Conley go in the East if it's not to there? I mean, Detroit, I think, still has an outside chance because maybe they would want Andre Drummond. You know, maybe if you trade away Gasol and you get Andre Drummond, that can be a cornerstone piece. He's only 23, 24 still. Kind of could fit that grit and grind little saga they got going on. But, you know, it's Detroit. It's Utah. The Pacers seem to have no interest. There's not a ton of contending teams, I think, that are really in the market for Conley. Is there any teams you're thinking of?
Not really. I'll get back to the Raptors thing. I think it is a bold play, but a lot of talk has been like Conley's kind of more appealing than Kawhi. You know what I mean? Like, he's a little bit younger. He does have injuries, but not the back problem, which has bothered Lowry for years now. You know, it's kind of a better sell to him. Do you think Conley makes the Raptors a better team or Lowry's better off for the Raptors? Lowry obviously has been, when healthy, has been close to a top five, top 10 point guard. You know, Conley's never come close to really being top five, but he's probably been a little bit more consistent and on the floor a little bit more, other than the Achilles injury.
I think the only thing I would give a slight edge to Conley and would be the shooting, probably, the efficiency in scoring, but... the intangibles for Lowry, I think, almost kind of stick out more. Obviously, I don't watch a ton of Memphis Grizzlies games, so I don't want to speak on the Conley intangibles I really don't know much of. But I feel like Lowry's got like a lot of, I don't know, charisma. I don't know. Maybe it's just I watch him so much being in the East, but I don't know. I think
Lowry just brings like a different, maybe it's an edge. You know what it is? It's like Conley's a great player and he plays hard, don't get me wrong, but Lowry does have an edge to him. And I think he's a guy that maybe you trust a little bit more. I'm not sure. It's tough to say, but I think the age, you know, argument there definitely makes sense.
And I think, I mean, from if, let's say the scenario plays out in which Lowry would probably have to go to Utah and then Conley to Toronto, I love that scenario. I think Lowry fits in with Utah a lot more than Conley, because Lowry's kind of got that chip on my shoulder. You know, I'm going to grind it out kind of play style. And I think you're right, though, from a standpoint of trying to keep Kawhi in Toronto long term, Conley is 2 years younger. That plays a factor.
And we just got another trade, Corey. This is a surprising one. The Washington Wizards are sending Otto Portis to Chicago Bulls for Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker. Did what not expect this one today. Initial reaction, I got you on the spot right now.
Wow. It's funny. I have Otto Porter Jr. on my notes. I have like little arrows and stuff.
Yeah, and, no one can read that. I'm just kidding. Well,
but it was came out today that the Wizards finally, in the last 48 hours, were taking trade calls for Otto Porter Jr. They finally were opening up to the idea. And as you mentioned, he's on his way to Chicago. And the Lakers just missed out on Jabari Parker. Damn it. But, I mean, from the Wizards' standpoint, you got rid of the money. Jabari Parker is still kind of an interesting flyer for them to take at the small ball four. Why not? You still kind of stay relevant this season. He's a young piece. Bobby Portis, I'm actually a big fan of. For the Wizards, it makes sense. And then for Bulls, you pass down on two guys, one guy who failed and flopped on you, the other guy who's probably not going to be a long-term fit. And you got Porter Jr. now who can – I mean, he's a part of the core. He's going to be a centerpiece going forward along with Markkanen.
Yeah, they pretty much haven't had a small forward in Chicago in a while. So, like, the last guy they had was Jimmy Butler, obviously, and he was more of a two-guard when he played there, except when Dwayne Wade and Rondo were there.
It was so really Luol Deng as probably the last true small forward.
True, exactly. And I think Porter gives them some much-needed spacing. Not a lot of great three-point shooters in that team at all. So now you're moving forward with Porter, Markkanen, and Carter. They're your three lock-ins. You know, everybody else on the roster is probably available, like mentioned. You know, LaVine will probably be there long-term. I don't think their ceiling's very high, but I don't mind the Porter move because he's probably also a good culture guy. You never really hear any bad things about him. And then from the Wizards' perspective, like you said, salary relief up the wazoo. You know, Jabari Parker, team option on next year. Probably don't keep him. You know, Bobby Portis, I'd probably say Bobby Portis is better than Jabari Parker in my eyes, at least for what he can do and is done consistently on the court, does play defense, does rebound. He's a restricted free agent as well, so if you like him, you can keep him. Gives you a young piece to move forward with.
I almost, if I'm the Wizards, I would want to flip Markieff Morris at this junction.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking that too. I think that this pretty much signals that the Wizards might be into fire sale mode, or they might be moving, you know, Morris, they might be moving Ariza, whoever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the next logical thing because you bring in two young guys now. Markieff Morris is kind of older, a part of that old regime. Maybe just mix it up, get some new blood in there. But like you mentioned, Jabari Parker having that team deal, I think he's going to get a real chance to play, you know, for that, maybe not that option completely, but playing for a spot in Washington going farther down the line here. But, I mean, I think this is a pretty good move. I'm glad the Bulls shook up what they had because it just wasn't working, the core they had put in place to start this year.
Yeah, it was just ugly. Do you think there's a chance Beal's move now, especially with the John Wall injury? Because not only is John Wall out next season, and I hate to say this, and I wish him the best because I was a John Wall fan and I really liked what he could do on the court, but a ruptured Achilles is going to hurt him long term, and there's even talk about him taking 15 months for him to recover.
I'm not gonna lie, I had a moment where I felt choked up when I read the
That's so cute. I'm so proud.
The blurb, the blurb that said John Wall called Scott Brooks and said, "I'm sorry, coach." That actually like really that hit me. That's a heavy thing. Cause, you know, John Wall's a competitor and he's had a rough stint the last year or so. And I hope he gets back to the court and becomes, you know, even full. I hope he gets back. I hope he comes back and he's himself. Obviously, it just seems like not an option at this point, but we wish him the best, obviously. But I don't think they're going to move Beal. Zach Lowe said it today on that show, that the Wizards have been pretty adamant that they don't want to move Beal, that they want to keep him going forward. Obviously, that could change. You know, the NBA, people change their feelings like seasons. But I think the Wizards are trying to do a retool around Beal and just to keep them relevant. I don't think they want to lose out because you're already trapped at Wall.
It'll be interesting if the Lakers miss out on AD and they don't think they'll have a chance at it on the offseason, they go all in on Bradley Beal. Like, that would make a lot of sense in my eyes.
And honestly, I mean, I don't know if you saw the trade at the Pelicans or what the Pelicans asking price is. It's ridiculous. They want like every single young piece.
It's pretty much the equivalent of like 7 first round picks or 8 first round picks when you really break it down. 4 normal first round picks, 3 young players that are at least first round picks, and then you're taking on Solomon Hill's contract, which is about a first round pick. So you're pretty much giving up 8 first round picks for Anthony Davis, who is amazing, but he does have an injury history.
Yeah, absolutely insane. I don't know where I was going.
But I honestly think that I would not be surprised if Beal was traded because, like you said, they were really strong about not trading Porter or Beal, and now next thing you know, Porter's moved, and it's not like they got draft assets. At least it hasn't been reported yet.
Oh, well, I just got an update that apparently this John Wall injury has changed everything, and now they don't apparently see necessarily Bradley Beal and Otto Porter being there long term.
And no surprise, obviously, though.
We just saw Porter moved.
Hey, we just spoke that into existence.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting on that front. Anything else, Corey, before we get out of here?
I heard some rumblings, some rumors that possibly the Kings are interested in Harrison Barnes.
Yeah. I think we brought that up on the last show, too. That was one team that has only had interest in him. So also, Corey and I will be live tomorrow at 5 p.m. after the trade deadline, recapping everything that's really happened. You know, probably be some big time trades happening and also some buyout rumors and whatnot.
We are here for you.
We are here, and tomorrow we'll do a better job answering questions because I did see people in the chat asking a ton of questions. That's usually Jack's job, and Jack is not here, sadly. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. As always, appreciate everybody checking in. iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.
Enjoy the trade deadline, everyone. Happy holidays.